That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. And we are coming to you live this, it's an overcast morning. The sun's up, but he's hiding behind some clouds this morning, and we've got some rain and in the forecast again, but that's all right. We've prayed for rain, and we got it, as John had said a little bit earlier. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, and to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we gather in your name, the name of Jesus Christ, and that is the name above all names, and that is the only name that there is salvation in. That's all there is to it. It's just how the book was written. We didn't write it, but we're just letting you know what it says. And you can certainly read it and see that for yourself. But we say good morning and welcome. And thanks for joining us. And we've got our coffee here, and I'm looking forward to it. Got a nice thermos here full of coffee, and so we'll hit into that, and we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later, 307-745-5913, here this May 27th. And hey, we can say a good morning this morning, can't we? And we can say a happy birthday to those that are having birthdays today. How about that? Happy birthday. So anyway, John, would you do the honors and open us up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before you humbly, Lord, grateful for all the many blessings that you've given us. Excuse me. Still got this respiratory thing, but Father, we thank you for all the blessings and all the trials and tribulations. We praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God of Gods, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that each and every day, even if it's just the slightest amount, Lord, that we would be drawn closer to you. Father, whether that's through the reading of your word, time we spend on our knees, the time we spend in silence just listening for the Holy Spirit, I ask that each and every day those that are the true followers of Jesus Christ would find even a few more seconds a day to worship you, Lord, and to praise you and to thank you for all of the many blessings that you've given us. Continue to guide and direct us, grant us wisdom and understanding. Father, we ask for your anointing to be upon those that you've chosen to stand in the gap, to relay what it is that you want said to your people, the faithful remnant, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. Father, you know that our desire is complete obedience. And we know that this sanctification is a step. It's a big step in that direction. Where one day we will love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and we'll put aside our own selfish wills and wants and desires. Not our needs, but our wills and our wants and our desires. So, Father, we ask that, just as your word says, that in the last days knowledge would increase. Lord, we see that knowledge increasing. I thank you for this revelation regarding this new spiritual weapon that we're going to touch on in Branson this year. And Father, as that day approaches quickly, we continue to redeem time, Lord. It's hard to believe it's already beginning of June. So, Lord, we do. We ask that you'd redeem time, that you allow us to properly prepare for this Branson gathering. Father, pray for special anointing upon all those that are to speak, all those that are to serve. You say we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord. We're asking for more Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We're asking, just as your word says in Hebrews 1:14, that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. So, Father, we ask that you would send those angels ahead of us, Lord, to that facility, and that it would just cleanse it of any impurities, Lord, any spirit that is not yours. Father, make that vessel, that building where your people are coming to be sanctified, Lord, to see what it takes to put you first in their lives. Lord, cleanse that facility and put your guardian angels around it. Father, put angels above, below, to left, to right, front and behind those that are traveling. Lord, we know that Satan does not want this gathering to take place, and the attacks have been stepped up. They've multiplied, Lord, over the past several weeks. But we take the authority, Luke 10:19, Lord, the authority that you've given us to trample upon scorpions and serpents and upon all the power of the enemy. And Lord, your word says that we would not be harmed. So we claim that promise. Claim the promise that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In Romans 8:28, Lord, that all things work together for those that love you and abide in you and are called by your purpose. And we qualify for those things. So, Father, we forbid the enemy from operating in our lives today. We forbid the enemy from operating in our wives' lives today.
Yes.
We forbid the enemy from operating in our children's lives today. And Father, I ask that you would put it upon your people's hearts to remember these things that you've revealed to us recently, Lord. That when these evil thoughts or these things pop into our mind that we know shouldn't be there, Lord, we just say, perish the thought. And Father, that thought will be gone. And as we continue to learn and train, it'll be less and less that those thoughts would come to our mind. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for that great sacrifice of your Son who died on the cross to save a wretch like me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Well, I'll remind everybody, hopefully you are reading your Bibles. We've wrapped up Mark this week and started in Luke. And I have to say, I know I've read Luke before, but it is not a, you know, we go to Matthew a lot and we go to Mark quite a bit and we'll go to Acts and Corinthians. But the first part of Luke, I have to say, I was not as familiar with it as I have gotten more familiar. But I encourage you, go sit down and read Luke. It talks of John the Baptist. It gives a different perspective. It talks about his father, Zacharias, and what happened with him. Of course, it talks of Jesus and his birth and his. It's just a different perspective on the gospel, just as all four of the gospels are. It's the same story from a different perspective, and it will bless you. It will. John, as you prayed for people to take just a few more minutes a day to draw near to God, to read his word, it reiterates, it reinforces, of course, the rest of the gospel, the rest of the Bible. Anyway, just wanted to mention that. And as it wraps up, a couple of points that we've heard, we talk about, we claim, we should anyway, at the end of Luke 6. And Luke 5 and 6 is the Bible reading plan today. But one thing there in Luke, it lets us know, verse 31, Luke 6:31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. And you can read more about that. Well, that we certainly read that in other places of the Word. Verse 36, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And we read about that all through Matthew, of judge, but understand that the way you judge is the way you will be judged. And we see that in verse 38, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And so this doesn't say you don't judge. It doesn't say you don't have a standard of measure. But you make sure that you hold yourself to that standard of measure. And when you do that, like you said, John, the attacks come. The attacks come. But we have the power and authority over and above that. I encourage you also to read the last few verses, verse 46 down to, 49. And it talks about the house built on the rock. But again, from a different perspective. Won't go into it this morning, but I encourage you listeners to do that. Luke 6, 46 to 49. And it talks about doing what he says to do. And not just being doers of the word and not hearers only. So, anyway, thought I'd throw that in there. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. We're here coming up at the end of May. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, we'd be glad to send it to you. And we sent them out the first of the year, actually the end of last year. But if you'd like them, we'd be glad to send it to you. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And we're also on the internet at scriptures4america.org. And you can request it there. You can send an email from there. So. Well, Jason, we understand had some flooding out behind your place. How things kind of leveled off a little bit there, we hope. How are things?
Fine.
Well, that's good.
Well, good.
Good. Rise up quite a bit. The creek rise up quite a bit, Jason?
No, they opened it up and let all the water out of the creek, so that wasn't a part of the problem at all. They just had a lot of... Up where they had the floods before and they had the fires, they had a bunch of flooding up there, and just it was that last snow, everything came in, snowed like crazy, and then warmed up and all the snow started melting off in a hurry, and pond after pond after pond of you know, it run into one pond and then start overflow and start washing a dam away, and then it hit the water, hit the next one, and just kind of a chain reaction deal.
Oh, yeah, that was, you went up there and tried to help our brother, Christian brother Dave, defend his place from same kind of issues. The, like you said, one pond fills up and overflows onto the next one, and then all the debris that comes down in the spring blocks the drainage, and so, yeah, it can be a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
One of the things that I wanted to start off with is, you know, I came across a deal this week, and, you know, right now over in Germany, Germany's got, calling it the rise of the measles. And so this week, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this story, but it says, parents in Germany who will fail to seek medical advice on vaccinating their children could face fines of 2,500 euros. In the range of 2175 to 2800, Health Minister Hermann Grohe said it is necessary to tighten the law because of the measles epidemic. A mother of three died of measles in the city of Essen this week. The government wants the kindergartners to report any parents who cannot prove they have had a measles consultation. You know, they're going through, basically, it's one of these things that's going through, and it's they're not even making it mandatory, they're making it mandatory that you seek advice on whether to do it or whether not to do it. And basically, you know, I mean, you got socialized medicine over there, and they're all back behind it. They're all part of the same game. You know, it's, you know, pushing the vaccination schemes just about every medical doctor here in the United States does. Yes. You know, it's a lot harder to get... it's a lot harder. Still over here, you can find some DOs and some different people that have been educated on some different in different fields and actually have, you know, somewhat of a brain about them. You know, we've got a lot of different types of doctors, a lot of different education of doctors over here than they do over there. Over there, it's just basically it's completely 100% government run, government funded. They decide what the doctor is going to make. They decide what kind of drugs are going to be on the market. They decide how it's going to roll, basically, from the start to the finish over there. You don't yeah. like what they want to treat you with. Well, then, you know, good luck, because, you know, that's the only thing that you're going to get done over there. I cross reference that. You know, I mean, that's one thing that's a big deal, and you know, they've been trying to get stuff like that pushed through for a long time. They tried to get that stuff pushed through in the United States for a long time.
Well, you see what's going on in Minnesota. You know, they're having the same measles outbreak, and what's interesting is that what you pointed out is they're saying that the problem is that the people aren't vaccinated. They're not saying that the reason that measles, which was eradicated from the U.S. pretty much, is coming back is because of the Somalians and... I mean, mass yes. numbers that have been brought in specifically to Minnesota. So it's the typical, you know, Babylonian theory that, oh, let's not look at the cause of the issue. Let's forward our agenda in destroying more children by forcing vaccinations. But it's interesting that you bring that up in Europe, because typically whatever happens there is what they're going to push here, so...
Well, and that's what like you said, 122 out of 122 of the Somalians that they had that they tested for the measles in Minnesota had the measles. I mean, it was every single one of them that they tested had it. You know, it's you know, weapons of warfare. You know, and it's been documented and proven several times that a lot of these refugees that are coming in are injected with these diseases before they get on the plane. Then they come over here and they spread these sicknesses and these diseases. You know, they are being used as a weapon of warfare. That's what, wow. You know, I firmly believe that.
I hadn't heard that. Makes sense, though.
Same thing with a lot of those children that are coming across the border down in Mexico. That's how they've gotten so much of these sicknesses and these diseases in the schools. They come back over here, they get them in, and, you know, it's been reported that some of them are given 23 shots before they come across the border.
Wow!
And as filthy as these third world countries are, yeah, there is no telling. Many times I've read as well that they get these shots under the guise of, oh well, these are your immunizations. These are what you need to come in. But who's monitoring that? Who can say, well, that's exactly what they are, whether it's a live virus, whether it's something that's put in them as, a, as you said, Jason, a weapon of war. We've seen things, not only measles, but and we've talked about them over the last few years, things like tuberculosis that people were dying from back in the 1920s and 1930s. Consumption is what they called it. And that has been all but eradicated. We've seen that come back because of these illegal aliens. And just a whole ton, a plethora of these third world diseases that we're seeing in on Main Street USA and in little Johnny's kindergarten class. You know, when's the last time you heard of somebody dying from measles? I mean, that's not a very common popular thing. It's not something that happens, because if it did, you'd sure see it, and they'd be pushing the immunizations harder than they are. But it is these unclean is the biblical term, third world country people that are bringing these in.
They estimate they brought in 90,000 Somalians into the Minneapolis area. Can you believe that? 90,000. I'm just reading an article here about this.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's one of those things. Diseases come through and diseases happen. But now you're talking about, you know, you're talking about it coming through, but you're talking about mandatory vaccinations, mandatory consults with, you know, and getting kindergartners to rat their parents out. I mean, talk about... communism all over, and you know, destruction. One of the things that, you know, I looked into after reading this was gun legislation in Germany, and I think this is worth sharing too. Gun legislation over in Germany is some of the strictest in the world as of this point in time. There's still guns there, but the laws are very hard to get around. Gun legislation in Germany is regulated by the Germans Weapon Act, which was first enacted in 1972. They kind of took it out in 2003. They started enforcing it in 2016. Federal statute regulates the handling of knives, firearms, ammunition, as well as the acquiring of firearms, the storage of firearms, and all weapons, commerce, and maintenance of weapons. It also defines certain forbidden items, including nunchucks, switchblades, knives, and brass knuckles, and bans their possession and distribution. German weapons expert says that Germany's weapon laws are among the world's most strictest and sufficient for safety. While gun ownership is widespread in associations and ranges for shooting sports, and the use of historical guns and weapons in festivals are not forbidden, the use of guns for private self-defense is restricted. You know, so right there, I mean, and that's coming out of their, basically their own words, it's, they forbid self-defense. It is restricted. It's restricted on what you can do for self-defense. You know, if they start enforcing this in 2016, and then they have this mandatory vaccination come in 2017, I've maintained for a long time that that's why they pushed the gun control agenda so much in the United States, because as soon as they get the gun control through, that's when they're going to start killing your children. Pulling them, taking them, finding them, because they know once that starts happening, that all hell's going to be break loose. I mean, that's the day the Saxons are going to begin to hate, you know. It's and, you know, over here, it's just, they've just continued to push it and push it and push it, and, you know, they're getting it through.
They are. California has done that. No religious exemptions to attend California public schools. That's just how it is. They passed it there. They have. And so if you live in California, no religious exemptions. I mean, it doesn't, that, at least for public school. And we are seeing that very thing, Jason. You're so right. They the enemies of Christ is the they we talk about, those that come to steal, kill, and destroy. And they have used Europe. They have used the once white Christian European nations as a testing ground. And we see that I think we see you see a good example of that is how Britain has backed out of the EU. They finally enough of them finally said enough. We've had enough. But the things that are happening over there, we see happening here. The opening of the borders, the euro, the like you said, Jason, these draconian gun laws, these socialist socialism of and communism of kindergartners. Now you talk kindergartners, you talk with your friends, and you all talk about getting your shots. And if one of your friends has not had your shots, you need to tell your teacher, because this is for your own safety. And we think that's just ridiculous. Oh yeah, have you ever heard here in America? We were down at the local little school. There's a little school down the road that's it's four schoolrooms. I think it's first grade through sixth or K through six. Real small, almost like it's a rural school. And right there on the wall from Department of Homeland Security, remember, if you see something, say something. So that very concept is being put in, is already in to the public schools here. And we've had that, if you see something, say something. That's one of the little slogans that Homeland Security has had for years. But they push it on these next generations to where they come up with that, and they think that is normal. Oh, let's talk to these children. Oh, do you? Oh, little Bobby goes to church? Oh my, we need to tell the teacher that. We need to tell on him. And that's where it's headed. That's where it's headed.
It's the series that Pastor Peters was doing, I don't know how many years ago. I think it was probably 15, 20 years ago, the snitch colony, you know, how they're teaching people to watch and snitch on yes. their neighbors if they're not compliant with, you know, the New World Order's way of thinking. But it's also an opportunity, I think, for us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it's not the place to stand up on your soapbox. And we have to be very careful to fight the battles that we need to fight, the battles
yes.
that involve our families and involve their safety and things like that. And the best answer that you can give if you ever have to go into a medical establishment or you're ever dealing with these people is they have all the shots that they need. That's it. And most of the time that diffuses the situation. Like even if you go in and they say, have you had a tetanus shot? They don't ever check. You just say, oh yeah, he cut his finger, you know, on a piece of rusty metal 2 years ago. And so all of these things, God's given us his protection, but as we come, I think, you know, in the last days, there's really nothing, I mean nothing, but the blood of Jesus, right?
That's Amen.
Not only going to cleanse us from these impurities, but protect us from these diseases, you know, where 1,000 will fall at a right and 10,000 at a left, and, you know, I think that's what we're going to witness. Just like Jason's brought up many a time, that they buried their young, you know, for, was it 9 months or 6 months? In Ezekiel. So these are interesting times for sure.
Amen. They are. And
that measles is nasty too, huh? Doesn't that end up, what's that disease where your brain swells and
encephalitis?
Yeah, it can.
Purple. Yeah. So
yeah, they said the World Health Organization says that since the introduction of the two doses of the anti-measles vaccine across Europe, the number of cases has dropped sharply. The total in 2016 was about 5,000, and that was the lowest ever recorded. 14 European countries are described as in an epidemic state for measles, and most cases this year were reported in seven of them: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Romania, Switzerland, and Ukraine. The largest outbreaks are in Italy and Romania. And it's epidemic proportions over there now. You know, it's been something that had been pretty much dormant for a long time, but it's back.
You know, a lot of that has to do with people's immune system too. Is everybody's immune system is weaker because of, you know, the food that people are eating. I mean, that you take the food, you take the nutritional value out of the food. You know, it's gone in the meats, it's gone in the out of the vegetables. It's if people even eat fruits and vegetables. You know, it's not, it doesn't have the health value that it used to. And you get people with weak immune systems, and then you come in and introduce this stuff, and you're going to have epidemic proportions of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're saying now that the Minnesota measles outbreak is just about to exceed the total number of cases of measles in the entire U.S. in 2016.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, if you go back and you start tracing that back, that was, you know, the cases up there is every single person, they had a shipment of those refugees that came in there. They were all Somalians, and every single one of them was tested positive for it.
Yes. They had the same thing in Nebraska, you know, with tuberculosis.
You'd think they would have, you know, tested them before they came in and brought them in and let them out into society, but it's a weapon of warfare.
It is. It is. Hey, guys, here, Jeremiah 51. You know, we were reading Jeremiah last week, and Jeremiah is it's a time of exile. It's a time of punishment for God's people. And you know, the people try to go to Egypt. They try to go here. They try to go there. Nothing works because God is directing it all. And you get on through here, Jeremiah 51, verse 45 says, "Come forth from her midst, my people. And each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, so that your heart does not grow faint, and you are not afraid at the report that will be heard in the land. For the report will come one year, and after that another report in another year, and violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler." But I like how it says that. "Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord." And you know, John, these plagues. I remember our pastor. How many times did he say, you know, he didn't believe God had played the plague card yet. He sure played it in Egypt, and he's played it at times when, at least a small part, when his people, who are called by his name, and that's Christians, rebel, and turn away from him. But he tells us here in Jeremiah, in a time of punishment, in a time of exile, to come forth from her midst. Save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. And we see that, and I think that this theme of sanctification for Branson ties right in with that. And Jason, I think this that you bring up, it's not rumors of wars, it's actually happening. It is a physical war on God's people, on us, be it the physical war for the mandatory vaccinations, the physical war of the diseases that the enemies of God have concocted up. But we do have the power and authority to stay away from that and to be saved from that.
Only a diabolical enemy, those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, would use a human being to spread warfare.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's what we need to realize. That's the enemy you're dealing with that comes only to steal, kill, and destroy.
And folks, if you're not familiar with that, if you think that is so far out that it's almost beyond imagination, We carry a book called You Gentiles, and it explains the how the enemy thinks and how the enemy thinks of us. And so you can order it online. You can order it from us. But if you haven't read it, if you're not familiar with it, you need to understand how that enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, how they think and what they think of us. And that book, You Gentiles, does that. I mean, we see throughout the scripture, you know, like here, "Come forth from her midst," you know, "Come out of her, my people." We read that in Revelation. And how do we do that? Well, sanctification. We are to be set apart. We are to
to apply these principles, to be these doers of the word that it says and not hearers only. You know, back to Luke, a little bit later in it, Luke 12, seek his kingdom. Luke 12:31, but seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. When we have, I mean, Christ did it at the cross, but and he paid the price. But when we do what we have to do, what we are supposed to do, we do enter into that kingdom. And we have that kingdom protection here. Not only being saved from our sins and our sicknesses, but saved from the hands of those who hate us. You ever read that? You ever read that in the Bible, folks? Being saved from the hands of those that hate you? That's why reading your Bible is so important.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine who's pretty successful. Owns a granite company, does granite kitchens and countertops, and started from nothing, basically just laying tile on his own. And but we got to talking. He's one of the men that comes to the Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, and he says, you know, sometimes I wonder why I work so hard, and I accumulate these things, and I know it's all a benefit for my children, you know, later on, at least physically. But he says, sometimes I wonder if it's even worth it. And I was trying to explain to him. I said, well, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you're not to succeed. And right. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't accumulate wealth as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do. You know, you're tithing, you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you're giving when you're supposed to give, and et cetera. And I said, the thing you don't understand is because you're Anglo-Saxon, European, you know, German, Scandinavian kindred, and Celtic, God has put it upon your heart to work hard and to provide for your family. And he's given you skills that these other people don't have. And he, you could see the look of blank look come upon his face. And we got to talking about it a little more and a little deeper. And I always try to express to these guys, see, you guys don't understand that there's those that hate you and hate your children. And they only come to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. I said, you can't see that yet. But if you ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll start to see these things. And, you know, that his people, our kindred people, they have the laws of God written on their heart. And they can't do the things that the evil ones can do. And they're starting to grasp it. So it's an interesting conversation, to say the least. But we've been fortunate because we've been given that information for, you know, some of us in the last, you know, 25 years. These are things that people used to just totally shy away from. But now, because of they've witnessed some of these things going on over the last 10 years, they listen. And they start to think, you know, that makes sense. And so we have an opportunity like never before, I think, to reach more and more people with the truth. The biggest and most important truth, obviously, is to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that's still what the main purpose of this ministry is. But there's those greatest gifts, you know, that the Bible talks about, and the power of the Holy Spirit being able to listen. The Great Commission. There's so much more to that Great Commission than we understand, and Lord willing, we're going to look deeper into that here in the next several weeks. But these are the things that God gave us to have the victory. And Pastor Peters, over the years, he had given us quite a few spiritual weapons, and I think sometimes we forget about them, and it's good to practice with them. It's just like anything else. If you don't use them, you know,
the prayer filter and all of these different things that we've been given, if we don't exercise and use them, then we won't master them and we won't become proficient with them. So,
John, I'd like to just add to that as well, that if we don't use them, they get taken away. When you're given these gifts
to
use, they can be taken away. You know, out here in the West, water. We talked about water and flooding and the ditch there at Jason's. And, you know, so much of that is just natural runoff from the mountains. But so much is also irrigation ditches, because the people out here have seen the need over the last 100 years to have water, and so they've cut ditches and run water and have, you know, diversion dams and measuring flumes, and it's a whole industry. You can look through the newspaper articles, and there's people that want to buy water rights, you know, for either crops or animals or that type thing, and one of the things on your water rights, one of the stipulations, is if you're granted that, say you have let's say you're given 2 acre feet of water rights, you have water rights for 2 acre feet out of the measuring flume. If you don't use that for 3 years in a row, you lose it. And that's just you wonder why would that law be on? Well, that was put in 100 years ago, and it's always been that way. That if you don't use the water you're allocated, that may be with your property or that you've purchased or whatever, but if you don't use it for 3 years, you lose it. And I think that's a thought that occurred to me when you were talking about those gifts, John, those things that we are supposed to be doing. If you don't use what you're given, it can be taken away. It can be taken away. And repentance and baptism is one of the most important things for us to realize, to do, to believe in, but also to do. And so much of that is not taught. These churches, how can a church that's out there that accepts a filthy faggot, a practicing queer, to come into their church and be there every Sunday and fellowship with that person and accept it? How can that church preach repentance? That church doesn't even preach sin. They have no idea of what sin is. Now, not that they're all damned to hell, but they're either deceivers or they've been deceived. And so, you know, how can a church will not preach repentance if it'll accept sin? Anyway.
Well, the sad thing is that these churches have become acceptant and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace. And that's where I think God's drawing the lines. There's no doubt
I think
about
it is.
That
don't we read?
Really tolerate.
Yeah, don't we read? Where is it in Romans? Should we, now that we have grace, should we sin more so we get more grace? He goes, God forbid. God forbid. No, give us the day when sin was called sin, a spade was called a spade, right was right, wrong was wrong. That's what our pastor taught. That's what he tried so hard to instill in us, that sin is sin, regardless.
But in the last days, evil will be called good and good will be called evil.
Yeah.
That's really what we're witnessing.
And there we are. Absolutely. There we are.
Yeah. Well, there was I did read a story last night about a court grants Christian t-shirt printer religious freedom to decline pro-LGBT order. So a little different than the Obamanation administration.
Oh, yes.
I think with Gorsuch in the Supreme Court, and we'll see that some of these cases are won for the Christians. And don't think that these gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever they are, they don't target these Christian businesses. If these businesses are, you know, they have the fish symbol or they're, they use Christianity in their advertisement or in their signs or whatever it is, these groups are specifically targeting,
yes,
these people to destroy,
yes,
them.
They seek
so
them out.
I thought that was encouraging that the court ruled that they did not have to print the shirts for this
yep,
gay pride day. a little different than the headlines we were reading, just a year ago.
It is, and it seems as if there is a change. You know, for 50 years we've been screaming as fast as possible as a society down the left-hand side, straight to the pits of hell, kicking prayer out of school, demanding the persecutions that have come upon churches, that have come upon church schools, and then especially the last 8 years. We see the and even back before that, it just seems like it's been for 50 years. Maybe it's been 49. Maybe it's been seven sevens. I'd have to go back and look, but it's just been screaming down the left-hand side as fast and hard as possible. And it seems like there's been a change. There has been a change. There's been, you hear different people say it in different ways. There seems to be a new spirit in the land. There seems to be, I heard one person mention, there seems to be a different aroma, a better aroma that is more pleasing to God than the stench that we've had the last couple generations. And I think it's, like you mentioned, John, the people are seeing, for the last 10 or 12 years, they're seeing them get hit in the pocketbook. They're seeing them work. They're seeing their parents retire and get $347 a month from Social Security after they've worked for 40 years. And they see some filthy illegal alien come in and get $2,300 a month in Social Security benefits and food and everything else. And it's sickening. The people are, I think they finally, at least some of them, like you said, they're coming around. Some of them are starting to see that, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And this is where this left-wing liberal socialism has gotten us. I think the few people that have seen that debacle down in Venezuela, seeing how this once thriving, cash-rich society has just collapsed into starvation and rioting. Jason, do you see in the circles that people that you're talking to, are more people paying attention and seeing what's happening in Europe as a precursor to what's happening here, that could happen here? Are people starting to see that?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, they're aware of what's going on over there, but most people still don't think anything like that's going to happen over here because everything's so much better over here, and it's just that constant conditioning.
It's the frog in the boiling water theory.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, even 10 years ago, there were those that were warning. Do you see what's going on in the UK?
Yes.
Do you see what's going on with the Islam invasion and them starting to claim rights over the rights of the citizens, and nobody even batted an eye.
Right.
Well, not nobody, but very few. And even now, like you said, there's still so many that are asleep, and that's why I believe God's answered our prayers, that those that are His would have the scales removed from their eyes and their ears unstopped and those kind of things. But the enemy's done a masterful job, really. And it's only because the Lord's led him. He's thinning out those that are lukewarm, I really believe that. And he's not going to, it's going to be like Gideon's elite. What did it whittle 30,000 down to 300? Who knows what the true remnant's going to be? Nobody knows, but
we know it's going to be a remnant of a remnant. And, as you drive downtown, you can just, you look at what they're doing in this town of Fort Collins here, and not just this town of Fort Collins, but all this Colorado Front Range area, and, it just oozes Agenda 21. And that's one of those things, is talking with a couple years ago, you could talk to people about Agenda 21, and there were some people that were interested in it, and could follow it, and knew what was going on, and, could see that it was part of the New World Order, and to this day, even a lot of those people that were in the fight 3 years ago, 5 years ago, they could see it coming, are like, they don't even see it anymore. They really don't care. Nobody wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
But they got burned out on it.
It's kind of nice to have bus service.
Exactly.
You could only see.
We got a new bike trail,
right.
I got myself a scooter, and, I mean, it's... Yeah.
You're right, Jason. That's they play right into it. And I think it's because they have tried to fight it in the physical and not seeing that it's being driven by that enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's the same way with the vaccinations. And you mentioned it, John. You know what? If you want to fight that fight, if that's your fight and you want to write letters and you want to, go protest at the doctor's office front steps and at the courthouse and all that, and if that's what you want to do, if you want to physically fight this spiritual battle, you'll be like those people you're talking about, Jason, 3 to 5 years ago fighting it hard. Oh, we're writing letters and doing this, and now burned out. Oh, well, I kind of like the bike trail.
Well, and at least they're doing something.
Yeah.
When they're standing up and they're doing something, I tip my hat to them. Good for them.
Right.
That's what we need, more people doing stuff like that, because you look at how our enemies, how these queers have got their agenda through. They got it through the same way. They got it by writing letters, by standing up, by having protests, by going to the courthouses. That's how they've gotten their direction through. It's an effective way. It's an effective battle plan.
It is. But to stay fighting it, you got to be on that foundation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what happens, is the people that if they fight it without that foundation, again, it's fighting a physical war or a spiritual war physically. Yes, fighting a spiritual war physically. And certainly we have the physical fight to fight. We have to be those doers. We have to do. But without that foundation of Christ, it doesn't last. It doesn't last.
That movie, America, What Would the World Be Without Her, that brought up the truth, and I've said it before, but Hillary Clinton's mentor was Saul Alinsky, right? Who was a socialist, yep, communist. And they used to, even in the, I think in the 40s and the 50s, maybe even the 30s, I don't know, but there were those communists that had infiltrated the U.S. And they would have their meetings and their party meetings and things, yes, like that. And they would try to win people over just by explaining to them the communist principles. And they would win a certain number of them. But Hillary Clinton was the one who said, no, 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 we have this wrong. We don't need to win them over. We need to get our people in positions of authority, such as government, judges, teachers, professors, all of that. We need to get them into positions of authority and mandate our way. And that's what they've done.
That's what they've done.
Over the last, probably, it's really risen up in the last 10 years, but this is all, it's a 100-year plan for these enemies. They play chess and we play checkers. How many times did we hear our pastor tell us that?
Yes. Well, the protection...
But the good news is we read the end of the story and we win.
Yes.
So we just have to remain faithful. We have to remain... We have to continue to hunger and thirst for the truth. We have to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't just stand on the things that we've learned over the last 30 years and think that we're going to, have the victory. That Bible is the living word, and it will continue to deliver as long as we continue to search. And as long as we remember that, how many times, even today you're talking, Richard, how many times have we read our Bibles? And it may be the 80th time that you read this chapter in,
yes,
whatever book it is, and something will, at that time, the Holy Spirit says, okay, now is the time for you to have an understanding of what you read. You may have read it who knows how many times, but until the proper time, it's just like Daniel. Seal up these things. Keep them hidden until the last days. I believe that we're witnessing that the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation and, the birth pangs, and we are seeing the birth pangs closer and closer. But God's given us all of these spiritual weapons to have the victory. He's given us the protection, and that protection is the blood of Jesus, and that's what communion's,
yes,
about. When we go every Sunday and we confess our sins and we ask for forgiveness, and when we pray over those emblems, which I believe goes out to those that are participating with us, we pray for not only that cleansing blood to purify his people, but for that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, to protect his people from all the evil in the land. And
amen.
that's our only defense.
Amen. And you see that in Luke 1, like we kind of started out with. Luke 1, it was Zechariah's prophecy that said that. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we've read about that before. Prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." That's where it always starts. "He has visited us and accomplished redemption, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember his holy covenant." All the way through that, all of this New Testament, it references back to the old, reminds you of it, and applies it today. It applied it then. And that's when John was born. That was John's father, John the Baptizer. And it is that way today. Anyway, yeah, it is that living word. But if you don't read it, it's not given to you. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. But that's what we are to do.
One of the biggest significant things that I think that they stolen, obviously, they've stolen the truth about immersion baptism, and they've stolen, you know, the truth about Passover and all of these things.
Yes.
But think about this. How many churches in the land actually follow the teachings regarding communion? They don't. They roll the dice. They pick one service a week, and most don't even do that, but it's lost its meaning.
Yeah.
You know, it's not to continue to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I've ever heard that other than with the Church of Christ and Pastor Peter's teachings, that this is how we continue to abide in him. This is God's provisions for us to remain under that protection.
Right.
That looks like we're about out of time.
It does. It does. Join us for church tomorrow. Scriptures4America.org. There's your invitation, and you can join for fellowship and music and Holy Spirit inspired message. And as John mentioned, partaking of communion. It's a way. And Pastor put this together. Pastor was streaming. He put together not a technological wizard by any means, but he put together live streaming. Before other people were live streaming, and it was to be able to for the remnant to not forsake the assembly. So we present that to you. Join us for church, scriptures4america.org. You can click on the stream right there at the homepage. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks for joining us, and we're headed to Branson next week.
Keep Thanks that in again. Your prayers, please.
Yes, Branson, please.
Gathering.
Thanks, Ben.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.